Welcome to another episode of the Trendsetters Podcast. I'm incredibly excited to have on Erica Nardini today. First off, I appreciate you taking the time in this chaos that we're living in to come on. But for a brief intro of Erica, she is currently the CEO of Barstool Sports, which she has held since 2016. Prior to that, she worked at companies including AOL, Yahoo, Microsoft, and others. I've been looking forward to this interview all week, and I really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this. And going briefly into, obviously, you worked in the more traditional media industry prior to Barstool. I think that's probably the alternative of traditional. What was that shift like going from a Yahoo and being the CMO at AOL towards working in Barstool? And what sort of led to that decision?
Yeah, so I've worked at really big companies, very small companies, pre-IPO companies, public companies, failed startups. I've worked at a lot of different companies in my career. And I was like the small ones best, to be honest with you, because you get to do more stuff and you get to have your hands on more things and you can really demonstrably see your impact. And I think I learned the most from the big companies because the scale of revenue is obviously really big and the size of the organizations are very big and they were, you know, all global in nature, which is, was a cool thing. So, I think every company that I've worked for has helped prepare me for Barstool. I would say that all those companies helped prepare me for Barstool, and I was totally unprepared for Barstool at the same time. So it's a little bit of both. But I have worked in the internet really since the beginning of my career. I love the internet. I have spent a long time thinking about how to monetize, create content, distribute content, monetize content, build brands. To build brands globally and to do so through video, search, social media, all that kind of stuff. So all those things combined, were, I think, really helpful in getting the job at Barstool and then certainly having the job at Barstool. And, I had so much respect for what Dave Portnoy had built and the way he built it and the whole zeitgeist of Barstool Sports. I felt like in 2016, I felt that very few people saw how important Barstool was and how different it was and how one of a kind it was. So the chance to join a company like this was just awesome.
Totally. And I think one of the interesting things is, as I'm in college, and I think most college kids strictly see Barstool as the Instagram page, the blogs, the podcasts, the funny stuff. They don't realize the enterprise behind it. Mm-hmm. How have you been able to tie in both the culture you guys have at Barstool of this amazing network and all the content you guys have with building a legitimate scalable company that just got partially acquired by a publicly traded company for over $100 million?
Yeah, I think we had a lot of natural advantages to building a company. One was Dave was really always about only one thing, which was the content. He hired really phenomenal people. Most of whom, 99% of whom are still with us today. And what I had a love for the brand and the content and the merch business. And I really felt like this, we could like blow the lid off of this thing, which is really what we've done. But mostly I never wanted to change it. I wanted to grow it and evolve it and play with it and experiment around it and put it into places that it had never been. And that's really what we've spent the first 3 years doing. I also didn't want the content guys and the social guys or girls to change by virtue of building a business. I think in a lot of digital media companies and certainly traditional media companies, there's a very big divide between the people who have to make the money and the people who make the content. At Yahoo, I remember it being like a particularly bad scene because the editorial people hated the advertising people. And I just never really liked that. And one of the things I really liked about Dave in particular when I met him and just watching him is he was always really open about like, hey, I have to get paid somehow to keep making content for you. So the way that the business was woven into the brand was just really honest. And we've really kind of held true to that. And, I've bubble wrapped the the content and the creative folks somewhat, so they don't have to deal with the bullshit of growing a business. We've hired great business people. It's not an accident the way that we've grown so much. I mean, we've grown from 5 million followers 4 years ago to almost 80 million. So it's like,
crazy.
There's smart people thinking about stuff all day long to do that. And it's the combination of people who get what's funny and get what's relevant. And it's people who get technology and it's people who get revenue. It's like all those people combined have made something really cool.
And I think like you, I've heard, it was in an interview, I think you said, where the most elusive consumer is somebody my age, a 19-year-old who doesn't watch TV. We're on social, but like we're harder to attract. We also, it's harder to get them to spend money. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the interesting things is I was up at Penn State visiting friends back for the Michigan game, and Barstool had you guys had the show there.
Exactly.
And every single kid tried to get into that. I've never seen a more aggressive group of people trying to get into a party and event than that. And I can't think of another brand in the world of people our age that can sort of get kids so energetic and excited about it. So props to you guys on that. It's unreal.
Thank you.
I think another interesting thing is when you joined Barstool as the CEO, you were the only woman in the company, right?
Yep.
What was that experience like? That must have been interesting.
You know, honestly, I think I've always said this, Barstool is like the least sexist company I've ever worked for, to be honest with you. And I mean that when I say it. You know, Dave welcomed me, and you know, I think Dave ultimately made the decision to hire me, not because I was a woman, but because he felt like he and I would make the best possible thing happen. Every other guy at the time that I met was the same exact way. There was a lot of change. Like, don't forget, in 2016, they you know, there was a bunch of guys in Milton. There was probably under 15 people total. Nobody worked together. Everyone was relocating to New York City. There was this like big anticipation of all these things we were going to do. And to be honest, like I don't go to work thinking about my gender. Like I don't go to work being like, I'm a woman. Like I feel happy I can wear a skirt and I like high heels. But like, I just wanted to make something happen with these guys. And we just set about doing that. So it's never been an issue here. There wasn't a boys club that I couldn't get into the way I actually have experienced at other companies. So, and that was part for me choosing to come to Barstool was like, can I rock it with these guys? Can we do something important together and have some fun when we're doing it? So, you know, I think it got harder over time. Trying to hire women at first was hard, like that kind of thing, but it's been great.
Yeah, and it seems like the culture you guys have built there just with the variety of podcasts. I know both kids, male and female, are addicted to your guys' content and the podcasts and all that. What's been the experience? Obviously, you said you like the small company side of things, being able to be more hands-on, which you guys have grown. Obviously, you guys just got partially acquired by Penn. What's that transition been like? Obviously, it's been a relatively chaotic couple of weeks since that happened, so not a traditional couple of weeks, but has it pretty much stayed the same in terms of culture and how you guys are running the company?
Yeah, we're really proud about Penn. We're really excited about it. We believe in what we can do together in sports betting. So, you know, and they're going to be the perfect partner for us. We love them. You know, Barstool's still a pretty small company for as big as we seem and as you know, as powerful as we are against an ESPN or a Fox or an NBC or CBS or Bleacher Report or any of those guys. You know, it's amazing when you're like, hey, everyone wanted to get into the Barstool College Football Show. We have 200 people at this company, 250 maybe. And if you're an ESPN, you employ, I don't know, how many people you think work at ESPN? Like
thousands, for tens of thousands. Yeah.
So we're still a small company. We feel like a small company. The you know, investment by Penn isn't going to change that. Yeah, there's things we have to learn. We're moving into a regulated industry. We've got to figure out how to, you know, plug into a big company that's a retail company. So there's all sorts of shit we got to do with that. But our culture is really hands-on. If you're not hands-on at Barstool Sports, you're in general not succeeding or you just don't work here.
Totally. And like you just said, I just looked it up. ESPN has 4,000 employees.
Totally.
And you guys have 200.
You're in college, like what's the math of like 250 to 4,000?
I wish I was good at math, but 20 times we'll call it. We'll round. My calc teacher would not be thrilled to hear that.
Yeah, that's all right.
So I'll blame Corona.
They're not going to have to go back to school this year anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, I'm good for 6 months. I'm chilling. And they just passed something in my college. Now, we can transition any grades to pass-fail once the grades go in, which is...
Really?
Yeah, which is great. But talking about Corona, obviously, this has been an interesting couple weeks for all of us. But obviously, you're managing 200 employees nationwide. What's that experience been like? On a lot of your guys' content is done in a studio as well. What's been the whole work from home transition been like? We were talking about how weird it was before we started recording.
Yeah, I think, you know, I said it before we shut the office, which was, I think we're going to eat everybody's lunch in this time, which is not to make light of it. It's a horrible time. It's very depressing. It's very scary. But what we really believe is that people need content and they need an escape more than ever. Like, I know I do. And, you know, like...
Please bring it. We need sports. We need something. Yeah, something. I'm ready to jump off a bridge.
No one knows when this is ending. No one... like
the Olympics are done. Everything's gone. Yeah.
Everything's gone. It's depressing. So, you know, I think the best of what Barstool is it's like made people laugh. Like Dave and Dan and Keith and Kevin and, you know, Feidelberg, Casey, Hank, all of our personalities have made, you know, Biz and Wit with Chicklets. Like, our people make people laugh. They give them an escape. There is something funny and relatable about what's happening at Barstool that gives you comfort in a weird, uncertain, unpleasant time. People write us this all the time. I hired a guy probably 2 years ago at this point because he wrote me this email about how his dad passed away. And basically, he just started watching a lot of Barstool. And it just was like comforting to him because he was obviously hurting. And it was just a way to like unplug and check out and laugh about something stupid and a bunch of stupid people running around or talking about stuff. So we feel really strongly that the content has to keep going. We were never, you know, while we, you know, we built HQ2 and we built HQ3 and we built, you know, we built studios and we have way better production than we'd ever had before. And we've built this office that's made for TikTok and Snapchat and podcasts and all that, radio, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, like, it was never really about the office and never really about the studio. It was always about the people. And so when you put all these people out back into the wild, yeah, part of it sucks for them. But it's also really funny. Like, if you look at Marty Mush, like, Mush is doing Mush Madness. Like, how many tries does it take him to throw, you know, a ping pong ball into a gumball machine? Like, it seems stupid, but it's electric and it's funny and it's real. And it's like, you're like out there watching Mush at 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday night. Yeah. So
now more than ever.
Yeah. Now more than ever is what I would say.
Totally. And I think it's an interesting aspect. Like, I was talking to a bunch of my friends early, like, there's never been anything like this time where, at least if you're stuck in your house, if the March Madness was on, everyone would be stuck to their TVs, gambling, watching TV. There's nothing.
There's nothing.
You turn on ESPN and it's like you're watching bottle flipping challenge. It's insane. So, also very important off business topic. You are a New England fan, correct?
Yep.
What's been the shit show of the past 2 weeks with the Red Sox?
I'm in like New England. I'm unhappy about it.
Yeah.
I believe in Belichick.
Yeah.
Like, I'm team Belichick. Like, I love Tom Brady. He gave us, you know, I think more than New England could ever ask for, like the ultimate hero. Dave's written a lot about it. Feidelberg's written a lot about it. Jerry Thornton's written a lot about it. Like, sad to see him go to Tampa. I don't like it. I don't think it's a great look, but
yeah,
he was awesome. But, you know, Belichick is like Machiavelli. He's got a whole plan, I'm sure. It'll be interesting to see who he brings in, like how young, like a new, I think there's like a new crop, obviously a new crop coming, which will be interesting. But then like, then the Red Sox, then there was a, you know, I saw a tweet yesterday about Tuca. Like, I'm like, what is going on?
You guys had your years now. Send it to New York because we're dying. So yeah.
But thankfully there's no sports. So it's like, we don't have to feel the pain, but.
Yeah, I wish I could say I was sad to see it happen, but as a New York fan, nothing would thrill me more.
Let's
take a second. I think it's interesting too, just the way you guys are structured with all these big personalities. I think if you look at other media networks, they have their content and you know what kind of stuff they focus on, but it's not huge personalities. And inside Barstool, obviously you have Dave, You have all of your guys, commentators and podcast hosts and all that. How important do you think individual talent is on your guys' business?
So we're a talent business. Like, yeah. Our personalities are everything.
Totally. And I think
like the best people on the planet. Like, we love them. They're so smart. I think that this is the single best place. If you're a really creative person, you have something to say and you're funny, like there's no better place to work than Barstool Sports.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure if I did a poll of college kids on where would you like to work out of school in the media business, I think it would be a pretty straightforward answer. But where do you see the media business? Obviously, you guys are sort of on the forward trend of where media is moving, more of a decentralized platform business rather than just having a TV show and a serious radio channel, which I think you guys do have. But where do you see the media industry moving across all these different platforms? You have TikTok, Instagram, Sirius Radio. Where do you see it going next couple of years?
Look, I think there'll be a couple like, this will be a very seismic moment in media. Like, I don't know, not everybody's going to come back from this, which is depressing, but it's true. So I think people who haven't evolved their businesses, people who haven't created brands that people are loyal to, companies who are dependent on one platform. Like, I think that the coronavirus and what happens in the next 2 to 3 months, I think will have a very significant impact on business. You know, everybody's building a subscription product right now. We just opened our subscription product and gave everybody a refund. So like, when the economy's great and there's money floating around everywhere, like, yeah, you don't mind paying another $7.99 a month, $10.99 a month, $9.99 a month. But like, when shit hits the fan and you don't have a job, you're like, what exactly am I paying for? Like, 2 days ago, I went into my iTunes and Apple and I was like, what subscriptions am I paying for?
I did that last week too. I see like 9 subscriptions. I'm like, I don't even remember signing up for half of these.
Yes, I'm like, delete.
Spending $70 a month. Yeah.
Unsubscribe. Like, so that's going to happen. I think live sports, the rights, you know, can live sports be, how long is it till live sports gets back? They're definitely coming back, but like, how long is that going to take? How much are the leagues going to try to command from the media companies? That's going to be a big thing. How underwater are the media companies going to go to pay for the rights? Because all anybody cares about is live sports. They don't care about their commentary. So, you know, and then I think you have all the influencers, right? So like, the best people on TikTok are not media companies. It's Charlie.
They're like 15-year-olds. Yeah.
15-year-old girl.
Crazy.
So she's a media company. Like, she's going to be a media brand. Like, her
40 million followers. What media company has 40 million devoted, engaged followers?
Right. Who tune in every day, multiple times a day to watch you. Like, that doesn't happen for old media anymore. So I think those are the kind of things you're going to see change. Business models are going to change. Ultimately, I think people are just going to be wedded to brands and personalities that they care about, or sports, live sports that they're interested in watching.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. Like if you could find a media brand where people will literally tune in for hours a day watching David Dobrik, Charlie DeMille, any of those people, they're their own brands. And I still think the interesting part is, just from the people we've worked with in my businesses, they're still so undervalued, which is the crazy part. I think a lot of people don't recognize how much leverage and power they have with these mass. Like, if David Dobrik posts something, he posted his disposable film camera app. It went to number 1 on the app chart in 24 hours.
Yep.
Like, how much would that cost as an ad buy from a company to do it? It's ridiculous.
Yep, totally.
And I think hitting back on something you said, seeing how many of these companies survive, it's definitely a bummer. But I think it's back to, I think Warren Buffett said, like, you never know who's swimming naked until the tide goes out. And right now the tide's going out. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Where do you think we're going on the live sport? Like, do you think that the NBA season's a wrap? Do you think NFL season will kick?
I have no idea. I mean, look, I think the question is, how many sports can you shove into
one period?
July through December. And my hope is we shove as much as humanly possible and there's like this bonanza of shit to watch.
It would be so cool.
It would be amazing. I'm so hopeful for that. But it's a lot of economic questions too for folks. Like, I don't know how you bring the NHL playoff. Like, I don't know how you finish the NHL.
And also, will people have money to spend on tickets at that point? People might have just be getting their jobs back.
But, you know, the live tickets for a live sporting event are not affordable. Like, so, you know, I think hopefully this thing wraps, you know, as soon as humanly possible. And, you know, I think the government and everyone is working to do that. But, you know, my hope is that, you know, can baseball start in June? I don't know. I hope so. You know, I don't know what happens with the NHL. You know, I don't know what happens with the NBA. I sincerely hope football can come back.
Yeah, that would be a major bummer. I got to see Tom Brady in a Bucks uniform.
Ugh, terrible.
No, I think that is, yeah, I was shocked. Like, if you told me 2 months ago that Tom Brady would be on the, I did a poll on my Instagram. What's more surprising, Tom Brady leaving the Pats to go to the Bucks or coronavirus being locked in your house? And I think,
yeah, it's like the apocalypse on every
82% month. Said Tom Brady. That's just, it's unreal. You'd never even remotely think of that happening. Before we wrap up, I want to make sure I hit on so many people that listen to this show are interested in business and sports, want to get into it long term. And I think a lot of people don't really know how to get their foot in the door. Obviously, you've reached sort of the top rung of what many people dream of when they're getting into the industry. What would your advice be on, number one, getting your foot in the door, but two, just making a difference in the space?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's a couple things I would say. I would say that, look, if you're passionate, be certain you're passionate about sports or about business, right? Like, a career is really long. It takes a long time to work your way up the ladder. Like, and you got to figure out what your gift is, and you got to put yourself in situations where you are being taught by people who you jive with and who push you, and you don't always have to love it, but you should be learning. Like, the more you can learn and put yourself out there to learn, I think the better off you are. I think sports media and sports business is changing. So you got to be like, you can't like want your debt, like your dad's version of sports media. Like, the ESPN of the future, I don't know if it has 4,000 people working for it, right? Like, and I think you got to think about, like, what's the job you want? Do you want to be, you know, in front of the camera, on the mic? Okay, if you want to be in front of the camera, on the mic, what do you have to say? Practice saying it. Do you have a podcast? Are you doing daily video shows? Like, what are you doing to get yourself ready?
Yeah.
I think that's really important. I have a lot of people who DM or write me every day and they're like, can I have a job? I want a job. Can I have a job? I want a job. And I'm like, what do you do?
What,
like,
have you done? Yeah.
What? And it's like, I don't expect people have done something like earth shattering.
But give an effort. Yeah.
Like, well, why the fuck am I going to respond to you if you haven't done anything? Like, if you want it that bad, and there are people who want it that, you know, I think that's the other thing people have to keep in mind is the guy or the girl next to you wants it that bad. And they're working on their skills and they're learning from people and they're putting themselves in situations where, you know, I've had a lot of bosses where, like, I couldn't stand getting shitty feedback all the time. But you know what? Like, it made me better. I didn't like it, but it pushed me. So I think those are the things that are important. And then to just keep being persistent. Don't give up. Like, you know, keep at it. It's not like you send one email to someone and you get a job. Like, you got to send 10 emails. So that would be my advice.
And I think it's interesting that you hit on that. There's always going to be somebody more perseverant than you, and people that are always like, and I think that's the people who tend to do, at least from the people I've interviewed, that's the thing I've seen. And I think you have to be kind of crazy to make, like, I sent 50 cold emails a day, every day for 6 months in high school to start my podcast. And people thought I was insane. I was insane. Not saying that I wasn't.
You have a podcast because you were like, why am I on your podcast? Because you were opportunistic. You DM'd me and you're like, hey, I got a podcast. Do you want to come on it? Here's what I would want to talk about. Here's who's come on it before. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, hey, you want to come on my podcast? It's like, no information, not timely, doesn't understand Barstool, you don't know who I am, whatever. So, like, I think being obsessed with something is a really great thing. And it's great to have that kind of passion. If you have that much passion for something, something will come of it.
Totally. And I think that's awesome advice, especially for when you're trying to break into an industry. From everyone I've interviewed, whether it be Jack Dorsey from Twitter, Adam Schefter from ESPN, or you, everyone has the same message. Like, if you want it that bad, you'll make it happen. Yep. There's no if, it's just yes.
Yep.
So to that note, for anyone that's their end goal is getting into the Barstool scene, obviously get involved, start some podcasts, follow the content? And where can people stay up to date with what you're doing? Obviously, people can check out Barstool Sports and all of your guys' subsidiaries on what you guys are up to, but where can people follow what you're up to as well?
Yeah, so like, obviously follow the blog, follow us on our podcasts. We have an awesome, you know, I would argue one of the best podcast platforms in the world. We're obviously all over social. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram. That's basically the only content that I make typically, but that you can follow us on all of those places and you'll catch us, you know, in between all of them all the time.
Totally. That is awesome. Erica, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it. And guys, definitely make sure to check Erica out, check out Barstool, and enjoy this Corona quarantine. Enjoy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. As always, go join our community at join.trendsetterspodcast.com, where you can get some exclusive content, including one question per episode that is not aired publicly, only to people that are part of our community, in addition to some weekly advice and news on the marketing and podcasting industry from me. Also, I'd love to hear your questions, comments, concerns, and anything else. So shoot me an email at jesse@trendsetterspodcast.com. And then you can always reach me on my Instagram at jesse.kay11. Thanks so much and looking forward to the next one.